Welcome everybody to Barefaced Stories.
Now, I don't know if you guys have ever done bus trips long haul. Those seats barely recline, let alone let you grieve the loss of a relationship.
Here's my mum, topless, on Skype, because she doesn't understand video conferencing.
And he turned to me and he said, "To be honest, I don't really like you."
I'm Andrea Gibbs, and this is Barefaced Stories. Today, a story of courage, environmental activism, and an unexpected lesson in makeshift plumbing.
I was given an honorary shiwi by the activists, which is basically a plastic soft drink bottle cut off on an angle, which I could use to, like, wee over the edge of the sit.
Our story today comes from Tiffany Moffat. Tiffany, not a hippie, found herself drawn into the world of environmental activism and up a tree in the middle of summer in WA. The mission? To save Bilia wetlands from Row 8 Highway Project. So, armed with wet wipes and perched on a makeshift bed in a tree, braving spiders and ants and the elements, how long did she manage to stay there? Longer than most, I'd say. Quick heads up before diving into today's story. Remember, our next show is happening at Old Young's Gin Distillery in the Swan Valley. It's an Under the Stars experience on February 29. If you fancy a sit-down dinner, you can pre-book a spot in the kitchen, or if you're feeling a little more casual, just bring a picnic blanket and enjoy some pizza on the grass before the show. Booking details and more, I'll drop them in the show notes for you. All right, let's jump in. This story is too good to wait for. Here's Tiffany Moffat.
So, just letting you know, I'm not a hippie. Just going to put that out there. And neither were a lot of the people that I saw when I went to my first rally to save the Bilia wetlands. So it's the summer of 2016-2017. I've just finished a project at uni on the Rethink the Link campaign, which is basically set up to save the Bilia wetlands from the Row 8 Highway project. And for those of you who don't know, the Row 8 Highway was basically just going to go straight through the wetlands and destroy a really important environmental and nature area, but also an area that was culturally and spiritually significant for Aboriginal people. And the more I thought about this and learned about it, I was like, okay, this road just cannot happen. And I started going to some of the rallies, and there was not just hippies, but like families, activists, people who'd never been to a rally before, old people, young people. It was a real community that was getting together. And there were various different things that you could do. Some of them slightly lower risk, some of them a bit more arrestable. Some of the more arrestable options were doing a lock-on, where you might lock onto a bulldozer, or doing a tree sit where you'd live up a platform in a tree for a couple of days. And both of these were peaceful ways of delaying the progress of the road. So I thought, oh, maybe I could do the tree sit. I joined up with a group that was doing tree climbing training. We learned how to climb trees with ropes and harnesses and tie knots, and eventually I thought, like, oh yeah, I could probably do this. I'd packed a little bag of stuff, some tins of food, a few changes of clothes, some wet wipes, you know, to keep fresh, not a hippie, a few magazines, and I had this ready and I was waiting for the call. And one night I was at a fringe show and I got a message on my phone, you know, tonight's the night, it's time to go up. And I was like, being the brave activist that I was like, oh, you know, there's a bit of a storm tonight. Do you think we could do it a different night? And they agreed. But a couple of nights later, I got the message again. And I was like, okay, this is it's time. So there's about five of us that went out to the area, which is on the corner of Stock Road in Frio. And this was fenced off, ready for the next lot of demolition. And so we needed five of us to, like, carry all the gear and set up the sit safely. So we snuck through the fence line in the dark, no torches allowed. There were some security guards, so we had to stay undercover. Chose a tree and started hauling up the sit, which is basically like a small metal bed frame with a bit of foam over it. And this is going to be my bed and platform and home for the next, I don't know, they thought it was going to be about 5 days. And so, yeah, hauled that up. And that is attached with a line to another tree. And that line's called the God line, which is activist for if you damage this line, then the tree sit and the tree sitter potentially fall to their doom. So after that was set up, it was then my turn to go up, and I'm going up, dodging huge spiders, and it kind of finally dawned on me that maybe I wasn't mentally equipped to be indefinitely up a tree. And I got up there, and then, you know, my activist buddies scuttled off into the night, and I was alone up the tree with my spiders. And the next morning I woke up, there was 2 mounted police at the base of the tree, and they yelled up, "What's your name?" And I said, "I'm not telling." That's my brave voice. And they said, "When are you coming down?" I said, "I'm not coming down till you stop building the road." I was just feeling brave at this point. And they trotted off. And so basically I was left up the tree on my own. The first 2 days were the hardest. I had a lot of time to overthink my situation, feel like a bad activist, wonder when I'd be coming down, be hypervigilant for bees and ants. Day 3 was a bit of an upswing. I had my friend Amy... shouts out to Amy, snuck through the fence and delivered me some much-needed company, some fresh magazines, because I'd read the other ones in the first hour, and a warm toasty, which was the best toasty I've ever had. But unfortunately, when she left, the police cottoned on and put a security guard at the base of my tree, which was at least some company, but no one else was able to visit after that. So day 4 and day 5 passed, and I was sort of settling in a little bit. Day 5 was when I was meant to be coming down, but there was still no signs of this happening. There was no demolition, which was good, but I was still up the tree, which was bad. By this point, you're probably wondering, most important detail, how did I go to the toilet? I was given an honorary shiwi by the activists, which is basically a plastic soft drink bottle cut off on an angle, which I could use to, like, wee over the edge of the sit. Very graceful. And for poos, I had a large white bucket with a lid on it that hung off the side of the tree sit. So I just, when I needed to go, I just pulled this up, took the lid off, lined it with a plastic bag, went to the toilet, tied the bag up and put the lid back on, threw it back over the edge of the sit. This was, like, my most stressful part of the sit, I would say. I prefer to go to the toilet in private, but that wasn't an option, unfortunately. And I was also very regular, which I guess probably had to do with the large amount of, like, small tins of cold corn and beans that I'd brought up with me. So, and one day, one of the security guards, I was pulling up the bucket, and they notice and they sort of look up like, "What's that?" I was like, "It's my toilet." And he said, "Oh, you're very brave." I was like, "Oh, okay." Some other highlights from the tree sit were Scott Ludlam gave me a call from the fence line just to check that I was okay and make sure the security guards were treating me all right. Another night when I was sort of running out of food, some other activists bust through the fence and threw me up a rope, and I pulled it up and it was a bag with more food and battery charges for my phone. So that was action-packed. Some of those people got arrested, so it was an eventful evening. Day 5, day 6, day 7, day 8, day 9 passed. It was kind of blurring into one. I did actually feel like I was getting in touch with my inner hippie at this point. And I did spend Valentine's Day up the tree, so I felt like the tree was my Valentine. I did try some tree communication, but I didn't hear anything back, so that's okay though, that's all right, keep it consensual. So I was basically going, losing my mind by this point, as if you couldn't tell. I was ready to come down. Day 10, they put a big red bit of tape around my tree, and I thought, okay, this is it. They're going to take me down, because I was given, suggested that I would stay up there until I was taken down by a cherry picker, which the police would organise. So, yeah, just stay up there until you get taken down. Anyway, so I thought, this is it, it's happening. Nothing happened. Day 11, the site manager, who I knew by now, came in and was like, it's fine, you can stay up there as long as you want. We're just going to go round you. And I was like, oh, okay. And unfortunately, this was actually a really sad day because they did start demolishing everything and bulldozers came in and they smashed up all the trees and knocked over, 100-year-old baugers and destroyed everything around me. So I was basically just up the tree, like, crying all day, which was, it was very sad. And then in the afternoon, I saw a cherry picker and I thought, okay, great. I mean, horrible that they've done this, but it's time. I'm done. It's time to go. And I messaged the organisers of the tree since, like, the cherry picker's here. I think I'm coming down. And they said, it's not for you. You just stay up there. And I was like, oh, okay. The cherry picker drove past me and drove further down to where there was another tree set, like, further down. Took that person away and, like, drove past me. And I was, oh, okay. So I'm still up there, and by this point, I've actually run out of all of my phone batteries and battery packs and everything, all done. So I had to make the decision on my own. I thought, I don't know if I can do this much longer. It was also my birthday in a day, and I was like, I don't know if I really want to be up the tree on my birthday. And so that night I put my nappy on, which sounds a little bit strange, but it is kind of like a standard issue for some activists. If you think you might be surrounded by people or police and you don't have privacy to go to the toilet, it's like an emergency option. So I thought, maybe I'm coming down tomorrow, put my nappy on, I'll be ready. The next day I woke up, it's like late February, it's 41 degrees. It's day 12, there's a different security guard at the bottom of the tree I hadn't met before. And he says, oh, it's really hot. I just want to go home and be with my girlfriend. Can you just come down? And he did start to get in my head, which wasn't very hard at this point. By like the late afternoon, he was kind of like, where are the organisers of this? I don't see them up a tree. I don't think they even care about you. Did you know they put that other girl up a tree with a bee's nest in it? That's why they had to take her down yesterday. Like, why don't you just come down? And I was getting convinced by this point. I was like, okay, yeah, you've got a good argument. And he says, if you come down now, I'll help you. I can help you. And I thought, okay, like, this could be my chance to escape without getting arrested. I could sneak off. I could have a sneaky exit. So I thought, all right, stuff it. I've done my bit. I'm going to come down. And I threw him down my backpack and climbing down the rope. Adrenaline's racing. My knees are all wobbly because I barely used my legs for the past 12 days. And I get to the bottom. I'm like, thanks, man. Thank you so much for helping me. And not a hippie, but, give me a hug and have my hands out. And he's like, put your arms behind your back. I was like, what? He goes, put your arms behind your back. I've called the cops. You're not going anywhere. So, yes, he called the cops. I got arrested and carted off to the cop shop. But I did get out for my birthday. And I didn't need to use the nappy. And no one noticed I was wearing a nappy, so that was good. not a hippie, but I do feel like I was part of a small part of many different people doing many different things. And the tree is still standing. And the Beerlea wetlands are now protected, so we won. Thank you.
Tiffany Moffat recorded live at Barefaced Stories. The theme of the night was fearless. And if you love Barefaced Stories, come and check out a live show. All of the details are on our website, barefaced.com.au. There, you can also find details for our first workshops for 2024. I'll be teaching them. They are a lot of fun. We've had people love them so much that they've done them 3 times. Can you believe that? They book out very quickly. So get on board if you want to learn how to tell a good yarn. The music you're hearing is Odette Mercy and her Soul Atomics. Bareface socials are done by Leah Selwood. Video and photography by Lewis Martin. I'm Andrea Gibbs. Catch you soon. We're trolling you in and teasing you out. Cold every time. You see it in white, then you see it in black. All the things she won't say, loving you like. She just don't love you.